He was in town for 2 nights only, a short ration, before departing for a house party in Wiltshire. The siblings had left Gussie Faraday's house in gales of laughter, and now Mary leaned back, pushing her body into the thin leather seat, stretching out her legs, her arms. Henry, who never showed fatigue in public, yawned. Then he turned to her with his brow creased.
"Oh, Mary, I should not have played that last hand."
"How much did you lose?"
"It is probably best that I do not say. Better for you not to know, dear."
He leaned over and kissed her hairline, his breath sour with Madeira, but his smile like that of a puppy on a long walk.
"Just don't tell old Nelson."
"I shall not tell him if you stop calling him that. It does not suit him. Too heroic."
"Now, now."
He took her hand and squeezed it.
"Do not dwell on that. Life, darling sister, is all about seizing opportunities where they lie, and making them where they do not."
Says the gentleman who has just lost his allowance at the faro table.
"Yes, well, one cannot expect to be always in the pink."
Each winter, when the last snows fell, the great wolf came to the centre of the forest and wept. Always at midnight he came, raising his anguished howl to the treetops. Neither the blackness deterred him, nor the wind, nor the spite of frost. The cry of the wolf could not be ignored. So heartbreaking was it that even baby sparrows, tucked beak to beak inside their nests, awoke and wondered.
"Does the wolf weep from hunger?" they asked their mothers. "Or is he lonely? Perhaps he is cold. Does he even have a home?"
"Fools," their mothers answered sharply. "Listen not to the wolf's endless weeping. He is a killer, like all his kind. Beware the wolf, for he is large, his appetite is endless, and his bite means death."
I would describe her as garish, but that wouldn't be fair. She was vividly alive. A cartload of monkeys, I thought confusedly, and had a sudden hallucinatory impression of the Blackpool illuminations as I submitted to her kiss. Considering the circumstances under which we had last parted, I found her attitude remarkable, even admirable. Or perhaps she led such a varied life that she had thought the event of no significance. Perhaps she had no recollection of it. I found myself quite unable to behave naturally, and fell back on convention, wondering, as I offered egg sandwiches, whether she would remember the garden picnic. Her behaviour then had been impeccable, and if, as seemed possible, she couldn't remember the outrageous things she had done later, it seemed improbable that she would remember a small party of no interest or importance at all, where she had done nothing untoward.